Say on the Radio podcast.
Hello.
And welcome back to the podcast. That was good. Laura got to intro the podcast.
Exciting.
Hello.
G'day.
It was like a phone call we had just a few minutes ago. Hello. Hello. Yeah. Karen, hello. Karen, hello.
What a gem.
She was a joy.
I love, we're referring to this text contest that we've got going on right now, $100,000. I love, because when we call people, it shows up generally as either private number or unknown number, anything like that. The change in tone from when people answer the phone, somebody they don't know, is always very stern. Hello? Hi, it's Jeff Lauren, backstage man. Oh, hi! It's always such a huge difference between the, like, cautious and sort of, I don't know what to expect. Hello? I'm not ready to deal with your shit. Yeah. And then, hey, you have a chance to win $100,000. Oh, great. Yeah. Nice.
You go from your scammer voice to your hey, girl, hey.
Yeah.
That is a thankless job in those that still cold call in 2021.
Oh,
I could not imagine that being a part of you. A cold call in any sales position. I had a cold call last week, and so the company that owns us provides me with some of my services. They cannot provide internet just based on the age of my home and the neighborhood I live. It's phone line in the ground, and they are not ripping it up at any point. It is so slow, we cannot. It's pretty much dial-up speed. And
yeah.
We had them for the first couple of years. We tried really hard. With my wife working from home and having the home office, really challenging when you can't send an email attachment because it can't upload it and just errors. So we had to switch companies. But that being said, well, before that happened, we had two different service techs out and said, listen, I work for you guys. I want to give you my business because on top of that, we get a discount. So why would I not want to use you?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't make it happen, so to switch company. So what they do is every once in a while, they'll go through your file to go, okay, maybe you have cellular and this with us, but you don't have this.
Right.
So I got a cold call from someone in a department with Bell going, hey, Mr. Kelly, and it's like, is this Jeff Kelly?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Turned out to be a really friendly guy, and we had a great conversation. Like, yeah, and I end up like, he's based in Ottawa, and this is what he does, and da 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 da. Because I'm like, I work for you, we work together.
So that's a power move. And anybody listening, just use this power move too, because I say it every time if they try, because it's the same exact thing. I don't have the internet because it's too slow where I am. And so I'll say that, but I'll also say, look, I work for Bell too. I'd love to take advantage of the discount. It doesn't work for me. So thanks for trying. And then that way you can shut them down and they don't call anymore. That's the other thing, is like, they can strike your name off the list. Like, it's not really an option right now, sort of thing.
I said, hey, if we're part of that $1 billion in fiber optic lines or we're on the list, if you bump us up the list, I'll gladly go back to you.
For sure. Yeah.
I would love to keep it blue versus red or any other color for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Good for you all for even having the conversation.
Really?
The way my conversation goes is, I didn't authorize you to call me. Please don't call me again.
Ooh.
Ooh.
My time is valuable. Get your sales out of my ass.
All right.
Boom.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'm sorry, but everyone probably 29 and under feels the same way.
And that's where I go. And by the end of that convo, it was probably 10 minutes, like 8 minutes more than it needed to be. And I said, just tell me that. How hard is your job? And he said, well, it's easy in the sense that I can offer greater discounts than those, say, working at a call center or retentions. He goes, because we're an outside program. So we have the ability to, I can just, boom, slash this off your account. He goes, I could have given you XYZ on your internet. I'm, what? He goes, yeah. He has that power. He said, that's the only thing he wields. He goes, I don't know how people who have a service like Windows and Doors that call you, or can we clean your eaves trough?
That duck cleaning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That. He goes, I don't know how people do that job, because the only thing I have is when you can tangibly show people you're saving them whack loads of cash, the mood does improve. But I said, I hats off. That is not a job I could do. Sales, and especially in this world, in this time, and the temperature of what people are at. Hoy.
I can tell that it's getting harder for like scam callers too, because there used to be at least a level of fake professionalism from scam callers, and now I've been told to f*** my mother because I have told them something similar, really.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, they just don't care anymore.
Clearly. not holding back.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking scams, we touched this on the show, and it breaks my heart to see it. It's the puppy scams across the country, and you've heard of people like, oh, well, they told me it was a purebred. Like, do you have papers? Are they registered? Yeah. And then you find out not the case.
It came out of a cardboard box.
Yeah, you pick it up and they've got eight puppies in a banana box that they picked up from No Frills. Yeah. It seems legit. But Canadians into the six figures. And that's just what was reported to the Better Business Bureau. I would imagine, like, how heartbroken would you be if you ended up spending that kind of cash on a dog, either to get simply duped out, right? There are people that just lost their full deposit because someone built out. And that's the tough part where they go, you know, look, if you want a purebred dog, look for the website and the stickers. It's not that hard to build a fake site to make it look legit.
Yeah. The hardest part about dog ownership in general, I think, is you have to take the emotion out of it in very many circumstances. Other circumstances, people could use a lot more emotion because I've seen you dump your dogs once they become 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the purchase of your dog, when it comes to veterinary stuff, and when it comes to training your dog, you need to take the emotion out. And especially people who have wanted a dog, and maybe you've been trying for a year now, because that, you know, that this around this time last year is when puppy fever started. You gotta hang in there. And I'm a very impatient person, so I understand how hard that would be. But, oh, man, I would have bought. So when I got Limbo, I was actually on the waiting list for a porcupine. Not porcupine. What are they called?
That'd be a porcupine?
They're little. They're wee.
A hedgehog?
Hedgehog. Oh, thank you. I was. Yeah, porcupines aren't as cuddly. Yeah.
That'd be an interesting dynamic.
I was on the waiting list for a hedgehog, and then it just, I got her the most irresponsible way. It was literally my friend was like, hey, my mom's getting a dog. Do you want one? I said yes.
Yeah. My mom's getting a dog. Yes.
But I also am a very responsible person, as in, like, if I let something in my circle, it's ride or die, baby.
Yep.
So I've moved with Limbo 10 times, all that stuff. But I understand, even just being on the waiting list for a porcupine. Hedgehog. For a hedgehog, I understand that vibe. Like, you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you like to daydream of all the trips you're gonna go with little Bowser.
Yeah, Bowser. That's an amazing name. Well, we weren't even on waiting lists. Like, it's applying now. You have to apply, and it's like a rigorous job interview to get a puppy or
as it should be,
most domesticated animal sort of thing. Yeah. Well, it is. And it was like, we have a history of fostering animals. We fostered like 30 something in our time before we had two kids around. We fostered dogs through a rescue in Chatham nonstop. So we had that. Like, we've always had an animal. We've got a 13-year-old dog. So that should be a fairly good standard too, I think. Yeah. Fenced in, all that sort of thing. But it was impossible. And it got to the point where, and we've said it before, because we had kids, they're like, some dogs, like, without any personality, anything, like, nah, these dogs deserve better than having kids around them. Like, I was like, that's not up to you to decide. Like, there are plenty of dogs that are high energy that could use a kid to play with them. But we got passed by so much, and it was just a stroke of luck that we found something up for sale.
Yeah, I know a couple people who, like, their lives dedicate. I know they have regular 9-to-5 jobs, but I see them post about the dogs that they're fostering, and they take from, you know, rougher homes and get ready to be with a normal family. And they even said, because I asked, actually, when you were looking for a dog, I was like, why is it so hard? Like, I promise you, Benny's not a psycho. Like, he would be a great dog dad. And they said, honestly, it's like equivalent to getting a house now. You need to make that great first impression. You need to treat it as a job interview. And flat out, if they say no kids on that application, don't even bother trying to entertain that, because it's a waste of their time.
It wasn't either, even whether it was no kids or not. It was just literally kids where you're stricken from the list because there's 50 other people in line
without kids
that don't have kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And a fenced in yard is a big thing. Like, there's just a bunch of that. Yeah.
But it's funny because you say it's like getting a house. It's the no conditions now. You can have no conditions. Otherwise, they'll just pass on to the next person.
Yep.
Does this calm down, do you think?
Yeah. 100%.
Once people are back to work.
Are back to work, you will see an influx of dogs at the pounds. It's going to be heartbreaking because there will be people. I've already seen it start to happen. It baffles me. Some people will get puppies and then they'll be like, I literally saw somebody, I think you're in this Facebook group too, Jeff. Somebody was giving up their dog saying, this dog isn't like my last dog. It chews and pees in the house. It was like an 8-week-old puppy, or like,
come on,
you know, whatever. It was an 8-month. It was a puppy.
Yeah.
And they were like, this one wasn't exactly perfect like my last dog. You should never own a dog again.
Ever.
Wow.
That's my thought.
In fact, your punishment for making that statement is a full weekend at the pound. You live in a cage.
Yeah,
in
serious?
Your own
That's
feces.
Horrible.
Yes.
I mean, our puppy is vastly different from when Bella, like backstage, we call him Barlow now because it fits him a lot better than Arlo.
Really?
Arlo seems too classy. Barlow's kind of dumb. He's just sort of just living.
I always get out of B. Limbo, I call Bimbo.
Yeah. He's just pure id, basically. He just does whatever the hell he
What's
wants.
Id?
It, you know, your id versus your ego. Your id is like completely impulsive. Like just.
What? I've never heard of this.
He's not the most thought out dog. Like he's reactionary. He just
super reactionary. He just stomps on everything and everybody. I watched him completely trample Bella to get to the front door.
Like
the
other
situational
awareness.
Limbo does that too.
Yeah, there's nothing like he'll just sit like he'll wag his penis over top of a kid lying on the floor because he just doesn't. There's no. He's just there, and all of a sudden he's just standing right over top of them, like just doing nothing. Like, he's a very weird dog, but. He's great. We love him, but he still has the odd accident. He chews everything still. We've had him since October at this point. We got him early
so
October.
That's so fresh still. That's
still fresh, yeah, for sure. And we're not at all thinking like, oh man, what kind of a mistake.
Let's trade it in.
Yeah, exactly. Like backstage Bella was immediately just a perfect dog. Like Barlow's a perfect dog too, but she was a very well-behaved dog.
He can't hear you, Benny. You can say what you want.
It's kind of like your actual kids for anyone who's had them. I mean, even if you asked your parents, Laura, there's one kid where easy childbirth,
yep,
easy to raise,
yep.
No, like no problems sleeping, no problems eating, and then you have
me.
The other child. Laura is Barlow. She's hanging over with her ding dong,
fluffy penis all over.
it happens. Yeah. We have that too with Lou, the dog we just had to put down in January. He was good as a puppy. His thing is it's like he thought like a person. Like it was the old. I hear what you're saying, but I do not feel like making a decision yet.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I disagree with what you're asking me to do, so I shall not do it.
Yes.
Where Wally is just silly and dumb and lovable. He is so obedient. That's what we locked out for.
Yeah, that's good.
He listens. He's an off-leash dog. Now, obviously, because we're in town, we have to keep him that place.
Yeah.
But we go, friends, there's a couple of concessions out. He's off-leash. He doesn't 10 feet out. Lou, who, how about this, the irony, hated walks, but if that door was open an inch, he knows Bolt. Through it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
No, you don't, for sure.
But
for
you
sure.
have to commit. That's yep. the yep. thing. You yeah. get that dog. Absolutely. That's your buddy.
Yep.
That's your life partner. You, if you don't want that, give the dog back, but don't get another one.
No, you're right. And it's got to be that commitment with the understanding, like a kid, like you can't just have a kid and then free range it and go, why is this kid so bad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, it's called it's structure.
Like and you also can't return that kid to the store. You have to stay with that kid.
Correct, yeah.
No.
So it's the same thing. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of different training techniques now. And training the people is just as important as training the dog. Like, you have to be consistent. Like, I feel bad when I say Limbo's a big barker. It's actually, no. Like, I've gotten slack and I've never figured out how to stop her from barking.
Mm-hmm.
That's her only fault. I mean, aside from just being a big doofus. But me and her both. I can't blame her for that.
What happened to Cesar Millan? He used to be the primo A1 dog trainer.
He was always a sketch bag. He literally kicks his dog in the feet if they're not walking properly on a
leash.
Yeah,
that is, yeah.
Like, come on.
He's like the aggressive alpha male sort of style.
Yeah, he's all like alpha. But I mean, and that training technique works for some people. It's not my style. Like, I did all my dog training myself from dog training on Reddit. I read the whole subreddit.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, this was me. I got her in college, so I would go to work, go to school sometimes. but then I just smoke weed and train my dog.
Yeah.
Stoners are the best dog trainers.
Oh, the patience.
10 out of 10.
Yeah,
the patience, absolutely.
Well, and the repetitiveness. I forget what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, sit.
Like, no, sit
You
again.
Have the same the same memory as the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
And you're following your own command.
Motivated by food.
Yeah.
Training's going well, but my dog is obese.
Yeah.
Okay, so every week we have a feature called Question Master. There's no previous knowledge to the questions. It started off, I think, initially as three, right? And then a couple of weeks ago,
I
melded it to two, and then Benny, he went ran with two. So, but this time it's back to Laura.
The rule of Question Master is that there's no rules aside from the Question Master rules. You can have as many or as little questions as you like. I mean, I guess you have to have one.
Yeah.
At least one.
At least one. Okay. This one actually just popped in my head, so I'm going to ask it before the other ones. If you, you have to pick a living female pop star, Who would you be?
Adele.
Ooh. Why?
Her voice. That to me, that's this. That's a voice. If an angel was a real thing, I believe she would sound like Adele if she was in the female form. Yeah. The range, the quality of the work that has been put out. Her personality that you see, like she kind of in a way, like she doesn't give a crap. I mean, size, shape, look, that's irrelevant to me in that regard. But she just seems like you've seen various interviews. You've seen mm-hmm. James Corden. Just seems like a ton of fun. And I would hope to be Adele if I could be a pop star of today.
Nice. Okay, that was pretty solid.
Did St. Vincent count, or is she more alti?
No, you're totally off-brand, Benny. Pick really? One. Yeah, pick okay, one Dua that Lipa. We play. We work for Virgin Radio.
Well, we should be playing St. Vincent,
well,
but that's
not.
Something completely different. No, Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa.
She would have been my pick, too.
Yeah, she's having the time of her life right now.
She wears glitter so often.
A lot of glitter. Great album. I didn't care for her. The first song was something about a kiss.
On her latest album?
No. Like, before this... She had one, and I'm going to bring it up because it's in our database.
The one about kissing in the club?
No, something about, it was Mwah, was like, at the end of it, it was like, Mwah, at the blow your mind. And then it was called Mwah. And I really did not like that song. I found it very obnoxious, and so I just was like, nope, this is a new artist that I'm never going to listen to, Dua Lipa. But then her latest album is front to back, really, really good. She's had a string of huge hits, but it's not even that. She's just having a great time. And she's also rather unapologetic about what she's doing and about what her, you know, she said she was kind of tired of just the sad breakup song. So she mm-hmm. wanted to do something totally different and infuse some life back into pop, which I think is fantastic. So, yeah, she's my pick.
Okay. I think both of your female picks would be also a great collab.
Oh yeah!
Fingers crossed. Adele.
A Dua Lipa or something. A duel? Can you call it that?
That almost sounds like a dua, but like yeah, a duel.
A duel.
A duel. Let's yeah. duel. Anyway, okay. Next question. What is something that you were completely wrong about that you'll never forget? I'm not necessarily saying that this was a lesson learned. I'm just saying something that you were like, "Fuck, I am wrong." Whether it worked out well for you, or whether it's just like, just tell me about something.
Oh my God.
This is so, this is so like just surface. It's nothing important at all. But I got in a very drunken argument one time saying that the artist known as Monica does not exist. And I was like, I work in radio. This was a long time ago, but I was still in radio. I was like, I work in radio. I have been a music lover all my life. There's no artist by the name of Monica. And everybody's like, what about that song with Brandy? I'm like, no, there was no Monica in that song with Brandy.
Oh my
like, God. I was so, and this was backstage, Sarah, and that, like, this became a heated thing because I was also being really cocky about it, too. I was like, look, I know music, and there is no Monica in music. So then it was like, we didn't Google it or anything that night. But the next day, backstage Sarah came up with her phone, and she's like, the boy is mine. Brandy and Monica and all this. And since then, though, she doesn't believe a damn word that I have to say about anything. I have to give her full research. Jeez. I need to give the quotes from wherever I get my information.
Well, especially when you double down. Like,
oh, yeah, I know. I did. And I
work
regret
in radio.
That.
Monica doesn't exist.
Yeah, I regret that so much because, I have to source everything.
You discredited
I
your own career.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, ask it to me again because I was close.
What is something that you were totally wrong about that you'll never forget? I'm not saying you needed to learn a lesson from it, just something that you were wrong. If you learned a lesson, that's cool, too, but just...
This is a grouping of things, but it's a theme lives behind it.
I'm surprised Jeff is giving more than one answer for a question.
Oh, yeah, imagine that.
It's okay. I didn't say pick one. I just said something. So
no,
anyway.
But it's not one specific thing. And what I'm identifying now is more often than not, my eldest daughter will say something / correct me on something.
Mm-hmm.
But then immediately I'm like, what do you know? Well, in fact, then I look it up and she knows what it is. And that, but it, again, it could be any. It could be a myriad of things.
So you're saying you're wrong every day?
No, no, frequently. But she's getting older. She's getting wiser and smarter. I am always shocked and surprised. And maybe Benny is seeing this to a degree with his younger kids because their access to information is so immediate. Where in the past we had limitations. If you were at home for the day, you'd have to wait to either go to the library or hope someone had the whole whack load of encyclopedias.
Yeah.
But it could be something about. geography or history or something along those lines, and I am fully in my mind certain of what my response was, and I'll end up telling a story like it's there, I'm living it, and then she'll like, Dad, no.
Is this like when you try to convince him that the Mario brothers are the ones behind ravioli? Is it ravioli?
No, just my youngest is like, Dad, who invented pasta? And without one, I didn't want to really explain it. Yeah. So rather than say, I don't know, I said, oh, it's easy. It's Mario and Luigi.
Duh.
Obviously.
She rode with that for a while.
When they're not plumbing, they're making food.
Do you think it's a bad habit you get into as a parent, though? Because you're so used for so many years, no matter how many kids you have. There's just a point. There's a good amount of time where you can just say whatever you want and you are the right person. Yep. Do you think that becomes a bad habit as they get older?
Well, maybe I'm living a living example. That
yeah.
Because you have one period where they ask questions and before you answer it, they've already forgotten what they've asked you because they're so little.
True.
Yep.
Then it goes to, well, because I said so, because you just don't want to answer.
Yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then as they get older, you feel like you need to offer them a why or
yeah.
Here's what I know about mm-hmm. said subject.
Yeah, my kids are right now like at 5 and 7. They're at the point now where they love giving me information that they've learned. So Ollie loves underwater sea creatures, all that sort of stuff. So he'll give me some random fact, but it'll always be like, hey, Dad, did you know that blah, 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 blah? And I'll always go, oh, yeah, I did know that, but that's super cool. I'm learning just as much as he is.
Yeah. And it's
oh, like, yeah, that's awesome.
It's a blend even with my youngest who like video games are her life.
Yeah.
She has surpassed me in knowledge, not only on the games and characters and what's there. And oh, Dad, new season of Fortnite, blah, blah, blah. This, oh, yeah, I heard about that. To the point where I used to be smart enough to go, if I wanted to play myself, I'd be like, oh, buddy, I like unhook a network cable or like
oh,
internet's
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
I let Dad work on it for a little bit, see what I can get going. Now she'll be, Dad, yeah, I cross referenced the router on my iPad. And so I'm out of that. Like, I don't know what my next play is outside of just conceding, going, yeah, you're right.
You know what's really embarrassing is in video games, Ollie and I have played the exact same amount of Smash Brothers together, like on the Switch.
Whoa.
We play together, and that's it. I don't play on my own. He doesn't play on his own. We play together, and he is so much better than I am at the exact same amount. Like, he has picked it up so much easier than I have,
mm-hmm.
and he advances a lot quicker than I do at this stuff now, so he is just crushing me at this game.
Smash Bros. Is always hard because once somebody finds their like go-to character,
yeah.
you're done,
oh,
buddy.
Yeah.
You're over. Okay. Yeah. Next question. What's next? Like, for me, I always plan, like, I'm always like scheming the next thing I'm doing in my life.
Mm.
But I mean, you both already have kids, you already have a house, you already have a gig. Like, what is next?
I'm gonna build a doghouse for Barlow this spring.
Okay.
Does that count? That's just a little project. That's my next thing that I'm gonna do probably.
Yeah, like, how big of a next?
Big
do you
or small?
Want? Big or small. How do you follow doghouse? I at times have many. Okay. Well, no, I won't take because it's too much of what Benny's got going on.
What, building a doghouse?
Well, building in general.
Yeah, you just did a reno.
Well, but it now it's just, you know, economically things look a little bit different. And then the sheer cost of everything out. And so
yeah,
it's kind
seriously.
Of, okay, I'm going to park that. You know, paint is fine for now.
Yeah, that's my concern is the fact that this doghouse is going to cost the price of a regular house
yeah,
if I'm buying this lumber at $12.
Yeah, yeah. Actual mortgage payment. What's next? For me, I've been on quietly on this... on a little bit of personal development stuff because I'm really intrigued by how much can you supercharge what you already have mm-hmm. on top of adding new information. So I feel like I'm confident in some areas, but can I supercharge those? And like, what am I missing about me that's going to make me the best version of me?
So what are you doing to supercharge that though? Like, what are you going to do? What's the action plan?
The action plan is a lot of books. Knowledge is simply the key.
Yeah.
But get differing opinions, like people who by the cover of the book, I wholeheartedly disagree with their opinion, but it's like, why do they think that way? Because
mm-hmm.
I want to have a better view of it all. I think it'll be helpful in this job, but I think just overall as a person. And then back to the kind of the health and fitness in the span of about a week, I feel 40% better overall.
Wow. Just good for you.
Mental clarity, just overall feeling like the mental health side of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's
yep.
a thing. There's enough science to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just coming to the realization where I had about 6 months off. I don't have a choice anymore. It just has to be a part of life. Scheduling a gym appointment, going to do it. It just has to be for me to kind of operate how I want to.
That's a really good way of looking at it, though, is like basically you don't have a choice anymore. Like there's, and it's not even the fact that you want to live a certain lifestyle or whatever it is. It's just it's something that everybody has to do.
Well, and I've heard it, so it's not lost to me where it's like, well, we all die at the end, regardless of your body shape. Sure, but if I could have 10 more enjoyable years with a body that I can move well, isn't that worth something then? There's value behind that.
Yeah, but we all die at some point. That doesn't mean you're going to go chug gasoline. Like,
exactly.
That's a stupid
some
mentality.
Some die quicker than others,
But that's just it. It's like, oh, you know, people go, well, you'd waste your time in a gym or staying fit. No, I've tried to tie in a lot more outdoor. And with the fact gyms were locked down for so long, it was like, what can you do to get out and get your heart pumping a little bit, and I've explored more and hiking more and things I didn't really do in the past. And it's like I live near a forest, like it's right there
in a cool spot.
So that's it. So it's a lot of little pieces, but reading, because education wise because I do have, let's call it, a regret of maybe not being as on point in school when I should or could have been. Doesn't mean I wanted to, I don't regret career path or anything, but
no, man, I think that's everybody though,
just to have more knowledge, because again, I think it'd be a greater weapon here. Because I could talk deeply about more things with certainty and not having to be corrected by my kids.
Guess stuff and Google it on air like we normally do.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I saw this TikTok actually like this week and I thought it was really interesting. And I think the data that she's quoting is possibly dated because I don't think people even read 5 books a year. But it was this woman who said that her boss told her that the average person reads 5 books a year. And challenged her to read like one book a week.
Yeah.
And they basically said, like, if you can read one book a week, they did the math, blah, blah, blah. You're basically, you become like a decade ahead of everyone else in terms of knowledge.
Yeah.
So she tried it and she was talking about it on TikTok and she said, like, it changed her life. Just taking a new, I don't think I could get through a book in a week, but I mean.
Oh, I struggle. I have a couple. One Benny gave me just about
picture books, maybe.
Survival. Like, I'm almost there, but I just. In trying to pick it up, I have like 4 different ones on the go.
Oh, do you? Yeah. I have to stick with one at a time. But I also, I don't read a ton. I read a ton of fiction.
She said audiobooks count too.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Really?
But also, so is this all like nonfiction? Is this like read a Malcolm Gladwell thing? Or is it like
read that book?
Want?
A book.
A book.
If you're reading a book a week, that's a lot of books.
That's a lot of books for sure.
I listen to probably 4 to 5 podcasts a week, which are a couple of hours in length. I should maybe switch to Audible or something to get books.
I thought about doing that for the commute.
Oh my god, yeah.
I'd be so smart.
You'd
I would
be
just like
smartest.
Show up. Like you guys would both be Pinky and I would be the brain.
Ooh. Beat Laura. It's not even beat backstage Ben anymore.
Beat the brain.
Beat Laura. Doesn't have a good
ring. No, it doesn't have quite the
marketing
same
purposes. I think head office and HR would probably disagree with that title.
Yeah. We'll come up with something better.
Where's your favorite place in Ontario?
Ooh.
The airport.
If it's a secret place, you can say general area.
At one point, it was the James Joyce Pub on Bathurst in Toronto. I don't think it's there anymore.
Does it even exist?
Not anymore. No, it closed down.
Pandemic wah-wah?
No, they were serving underage way too often.
Oh, underage wah-wah.
Right,
okay.
Down. Yeah,
that happens.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. You'll either say a lot or you'll say nothing and just like give me the f*** you.
Favorite place, Jeff?
It's where my people are at. The people I want to be around, where they are. It could be someone's backyard.
It's very Oprah of you.
Yeah, I know. I can't choose. I'd say London, but I've lived in other spots and had as equal amounts of fun as I've had here.
Yeah.
So that's tough. My favorite is, I will say, because I did have a lot of, I'd still say Tara, as much as I kind of shit on it.
Wow.
And I don't go very often. I think I've been 3 times in 10 years, and it's just been driving through it. Because no one I know lives there anymore. Everybody has moved
away. Is that
away.
Why you like it so much now?
It was just such a, it was the root of, I guess, who I am. And I had a really enjoyable, fun, and free childhood. So that's I'd say Tara.
Okay.
Top that one.
You out doghouse Benny with the second question.
Oh yes, I did.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. My favorite spot. I'm thinking outdoorsy when you say where's your favorite spot in Ontario.
It could be anywhere.
I like
your favorite spot. Not anyone else's, Benny.
Mm-hmm. I really like Long Point for some reason. I don't know if you guys have been down there. It's just on the coast.
Know of. Just
haven't. Yeah.
Heard of it. Jay Stevens goes to Long Point a lot too, right?
Does he? No, he goes north. He usually goes to Kinkardine. Kinkarden. He always says Kinkardine. I know.
Mouth.
No, I know.
Oh my gosh.
We've just referred to it that many times now. But no, he goes north. This is south. This is, it's probably directly south of Kitchener, but along the water.
Okay.
And it's this little peninsula, but there's just one spot that, like, there's lovely trails and all sorts of really cool stuff, but there's so much water and marshland down there, but there's just one spot when you're driving through there that you're just basically, you're like an inch off the water, and it's just right on either side of the road. Like, it's got a flood all the time, but every time that we go down there, you're able to just, it's like you're just kind of floating right on top of the water while you're going. I'm a big fan of the water, so probably somewhere out in the lake would be my favorite spot in Ontario. But yeah, that's got to be closest.
Okay. If you had painted nails, what style would you go for? Long or short? What color?
I'm going to go short and a matte gloss. Only because...
I don't know what that means.
Matte and gloss are contradicting.
I was going to say, yeah.
I meant a matte finish, not a gloss.
What color?
Clear. I don't want a color. I don't like.
What a cop out.
Yeah, come on.
Make it look like I'm not wearing anything at all.
Color, like in the world of design, nail form, gel tips, you pick. No, you. I said, what color? You can pick designs too, but like, come on.
Well, then I'd go camouflage. You wouldn't know it's there. I'd go short for practicality's sake.
Yeah.
I know you like the keyboard, the tippy tappies, and I've seen my wife's had longer nails, like the acrylic stuff, but. I just have so much respect how women make that work. Or I should say people who have long nails.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great challenges with that. So I'm going to go short. I'd have some fun with some camo.
Okay.
Camo nails.
I can see you with orange camo nails, actually.
Like, why not?
Remember when Kylie Jenner wore that like orange matching suit once?
I do not recall that moment.
It was a vibe. It was very good festival gear. When I came here for to London for a block party, when it like got ruined by a hurricane, basically, there was this girl in a matching like orange camo like crop top and joggers, and I was so jealous because one, she looked amazing, but two, so did the outfit.
Orange camo is a huge contradiction to itself, but that's cool.
Yeah,
I would go short. I like that look that Jeff is referring to, I think. The, like, it's more solid than it is glossy. I don't know what color I would go with, so I'm going to go with probably, I don't know.
You want a glossy matte, too?
Yeah, definitely.
Shut up, Jeff.
I think probably something bright, though. I would go something eye-catching rather than trying to...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But what color? You think it like neons, or you think it's something like in...
Neons, probably. Yeah.
Oh, do something that glows under...
You can do that.
Can I do it something that would match my favorite bird shirt? Like,
sure.
Yeah. Like, so patterns of birds.
I have that,
so
like,
if you
bright
move
teal
your fingers,
one.
It looks like the bird's flying.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, you could get, like, feather fingernails.
Fantastic.
Ben's high again.
There it is. Yep.
Oh, that's so fun. You guys want me to keep... You want me to keep asking questions? I already asked, like, five extra.
Hey, if you've got the time, we do.
Okay.
You've got a couple. Go ahead.
I have to leave in 5 minutes, yep. So you get one more.
Okay, last one.
All right. This is coming off the top of my head. If you could banish and get rid of one social media app, what would it be? Like one basically that no one else would use. It just wouldn't exist on Earth anymore.
Oh, that's a good one. Because I could cop out. I would just use one that I don't use. I'd love to say Facebook, but Facebook still is very... It connects me with, well, elderly family.
Stoners
on
Plant groups.
Yeah, that too. I find like those groups are really, really good. So I can't say Facebook. I can't say Instagram because I like Instagram. Can't say TikTok because Laura will come through that plexiglass and kill me if I did.
Punch you. And you love it.
Hey, LinkedIn.
No, LinkedIn is not social media. That doesn't count. No.
Well, they're trying to be.
They're trying.
Well, they're not.
Mm. Oh, what's that? Parler? Was that what it was?
No.
Parler?
Parler.
Twitter,
yeah.
Facebook,
oh,
TikTok.
Twitter. Yeah, get rid of Twitter. I don't need Twitter anymore. Screw Twitter. I didn't even think about it. That's why we're talking about all the major social media.
It already doesn't exist to you, eh?
Yeah, I don't like Twitter.
Okay, fine.
So that's taken. I would lean next into, and it's tough because when I first got into Instagram, I enjoyed it. It was like vivid photos of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I was following a lot of cool stuff kind of pages,
yeah.
Things that interested me. And then it was overwhelmed with an influencer and a swipe up promo code.
Yeah, I don't love that aspect of it.
I think what it's done for mental health, it'll be a 10 years down, 20 years down the road, like we look back at smoking going in the 50s, where it's like, my doctor recommends. And then in the 70s, 80s, like, what the fuck are you doing? I think with social media, yeah. it'll come back to, what were we doing? Why did we expose so much about ourselves? Why did we let outside influences of people mess with us and our mental health?
Well, it's already kind of going down that road, right? With the fit, like, if I went back into the Facebook account I had in high school, mm-hmm. and the, like, it was really innocent at the time when you'd fill out these little notes and they'd ask like questions about your personal life. Basically, mm-hmm. it's like all my personal data is posted on my Facebook page from when I was 12.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Instagram, that was a tough one. And like you say, Jeff, too, I think the amount of time that people spent, I don't know if they do. Well, no, they spend this amount of time on TikTok now. Mm-hmm. But like the hours that people are spending on, you know, putting out their best self, which is good, but mm-hmm. it's also not in most cases terribly authentic, I think. Right.
I'll be curious. There'll be something next.
Of course.
What
will,
is
yeah.
it? What's going to be after TikTok that people are going to go, TikTok's dead. Blah, XYZ is the new it thing.
Do you think that TikTok's going to die when people get back to a regular life and going out more and doing that sort
of thing? I think everything has a shelf life. Outside of water, like everybody loves water.
Yeah. Everything has a shelf life, but I mean, it's a long shelf life. Like Facebook is slowly becoming expired, but it's been 20 years ish. Mm-hmm.
It's been
I've been on since close, 06, yeah. So 14.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
15, sorry.
I think TikTok, I wonder this too. I think there's going to have to be a change in the algorithms. Like even I've seen some popular Canadian TikTokers. Like, do you guys remember Dante Colley? He's from Toronto. He went super viral because he likes to like do his dance moves, but he'll make little like emojis pop up while he's dancing. He's got a couple commercial deals and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
He was like Instagram famous before TikTok became a thing, and now right. he has TikTok. But he was explaining like there's a big problem right now. And like if you want to be a creative person and, you know, make TikToks or Instagrams or whatever it is, you have to start doing it for you, because right now the requirement for TikTok is post 3 times a day, interact with people on the app. Like, it's just like you're spending your life trying to impress a computer. You should be posting that stuff for yourself and your own mm-hmm. energy. And then if it goes viral, yeah. it goes viral.
Yeah, I don't mind if I see people that don't have a huge account or anything like that, that are following like a dance trend. If they want to do something that everybody else is doing, that's fine. I always struggle with the people who are quite popular, who are just copying other people's ideas. Like, if you're at that level of like, you have a million or hundreds of thousands of followers, that sort of thing. Like, I think that you should be on the hook for creating your own content rather than just stealing somebody else's and redoing it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a dance move, then sometimes I can help that smaller creator go big. But
for sure. Yeah.
With like my TikTok, I follow like 6 people. And I just scroll. It's my algorithms. One day it's sad TikTok. Next thing it's self-help. Next thing it's mm-hmm. sports. It's just, it's an utter mess.
Yep.
Yeah. But isn't that good though? I'd rather, that's what I found with Twitter, was it got so specific. I just kept seeing the same thing over and over again. I feel like that could be TikTok's downfall if they take this algorithm so seriously. If you're just getting the what lives in your head rent-free over and over and over and over again, that gets real boring and you mm-hmm. just stop. I honestly, it's days in between times that I go on TikTok, and it's generally either, it's generally because somebody says, hey, I sent you something, did you see it? And I was like, oh no, I haven't been on it in like a week.
The only thing that doesn't upset me and makes me laugh all the time is just stupid people doing dumb stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I grew up in the America's Funniest Home Videos.
So I follow them on TikTok, actually. Oh,
some of that stuff. And well, at times it's predictable. It's the outcome. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. I don't like broken bones. That's not a thing
no.
for me. But just seeing something being silly, I love it. I love it.
I love all of it.
Long answer long.
Okay. Bye. I gotta go. I gotta get my lashes done.
Check out the weekly show highlights, and thanks for being here. We'll chat soon.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
This story is going to have 3 people telling their own personal chunk. There was a break and enter, not at the studio, but in the back parking lot where we have, by appearance, looks like a shed, but in fact, it's a garbage shed. Because, well, for obvious reasons, we can't have 42 cans or pails out there. Mm-hmm. So they lock it away, and then the night prior, it gets put out and handled by sanitation services. So someone broke in and started to set up shop. They put some belongings in there. They wanted to take it over. And with that, a security concern.
Yes,
because people arrive early hours. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what the business is. It's about workplace safety. So security is hired to assist. And that's where things get funny. So Ben, backstage Ben, wheels in about 20 to 30 seconds before me. And like, I see him backing in, and then I park and I realize, oh, there's the security vehicle and a gentleman standing beside it.
He parked in your spot, so I knew that it was security because you were behind me.
Not a reserve spot, but there's very few people here, right?
Yeah, so we have our spots. Yeah.
Thanks, COVID. So with this, I get out, and Ben is already exchanging pleasantries with the security guard, and hey, how are you, and that kind of thing. And then he's asking us who we are. We go through a checklist.
Yep, he's got the VIP list of who's allowed entry, which is cool. So I was like, yeah, well, okay, here's Jeff, here's me. Laura's definitely on her way. It's the other people that are at our sister stations, that sort of thing. I said, they're probably here, but we'll go through and take a look. So I brought him in, and I was like, okay, so that we're down in the news area, and the news people are down there checking their names off the list. And I said, I hear the door opening up to the studio. So I said, oh, Laura's probably on her way. And before the door's even shut, Laura, just as I'm rounding the corner, just yells, where the F is the security guy? And then he comes right behind me. He was right behind me.
Yeah, I swear I said it to him as I was making eye contact with him. That's how the story went for me. What a great first impression to me. Okay, so in my defense, I have been in this job. I have worked doing mornings with you guys for nearly a year now. This whole job has been during a pandemic for me. I haven't met half the people that work here. So every time I see a new person, I'm just like, hey, good day, how are you? I don't know if I met your name before. I don't know if I've met you. But I just assume you're one of us. So I'm sorry, security dude. I did not realize. I also noticed that somebody was in your spot, but I thought that somebody had parked somewhere else because maybe we had somebody saying like hello earlier. But here's the deal. The reason why I was so fired up when I got in is because I got here. There was some hooligan by the garbage shed.
The whole point is security.
The whole point of security, and the guy wasn't outside. So that's why I said, where the is security? And I feel really bad because that was the very first thing I said to him, and that was kind of the last thing I said to him because you guys walked away so quick. And it was also like 5:30 in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, super early.
It's a very loud thing to ask somebody the second you meet them.
Paul Blart was busy inside with Ben and I running through the list. And
I feel bad.
The real humor to me came when I overheard him saying to Ben, so what do you want me to do now?
Secure things? I don't know.
I don't know. You're standing beside us inside the radio station.
Do a safety dance.
Maybe go protect the outside or the single female trying to gain entry.
He did. He hit the button on his remote when you said that there was somebody outside, though. So his security van just went.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben every morning.
Virgin Radio.
I did not know that.
The number is about 8%. 8% of us actually feel fully rested after a night's sleep. How do you two feel on that statement?
I feel actually great this morning. I woke up half an hour before my alarm. I tried to sleep again, but I couldn't. But you know when you wake up not feeling like a bag of dirt?
Yeah.
That was this morning.
But is that refreshed? I feel like that's just,
That's refreshed to me in comparison to regular, so I'll take it.
So there it is. Let's talk consistency. Out of 7 days a week, how many mornings do you wake up feeling, feel good?
Minus two. Like, I don't remember the last morning that I woke up feeling like, okay, like, this is what it's like to feel awake regularly?
And
I don't know.
I've never just jumped out of bed. Let me put it that way. But I think it's always that lying in bed.
I think that's different, though. Feeling good when you wake up versus, like, I think it's inhuman to just get up and jump out of the bed. If you're one of those people that does that, you are a unicorn.
You belong here right now. And I belong in bed. Yeah. That's you, eh?
That is me. I just wake up and go.
You don't, like, you don't sit on the edge of your bed.
Nope.
Or for me, I lie in bed because sitting would be too much of a ruckus. But just think about.
No, I turn, feet get the ground within 4 seconds, and then 1, 2, 3. Let's go. But if I'm napping, that's a different story. I'll roll, I'll flop, I'll try to grab 10 more minutes because it's in the afternoon. There's no real timeline.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to rush out of the house or anything. Right now, so these numbers take us to December of 2020, so the numbers are a little skewed. We only average about a hair over 5 hours a night. Doesn't matter if you work a 9-to-5, if you work shift work like we do.
6 in 10 people can't remember the last time they felt truly rested, to kind of cap off that little piece.
People average 5 hours a night now?
Yes.
Oh, that's horrible.
It is.
What's your average?
I'm just shy of 6 hours for an overnight sleep.
I'm just shy of six, yeah.
My average amount of sleep, I go like 5 hours and 16 minutes. But like last week when you have like the Grammys and stuff, I had 3 hours and 45 minutes to sleep on Sunday night.
So that, things like that, pull your average down for sure. What's keeping us up at night? It's not hard. People have said the vicious political cycle, a pandemic news cycle caused them to lose sleep in this past year. And then the new working situation, either not working at all or working from home, where there are positives, the negative impacts your overall sleep. How bad is it? Things people would give up in North America for good sleep. 42% said, I would give up my favorite food for an entire year if I could trade that off for sleep.
Wow.
A personal belonging. So something that means the most to you. Take it. I just want to sleep. A paycheck and even your car. That's how bad people want to fall asleep and feel rested.
I'm going to sound like the jerk here, but I feel like if you're one of those people that says, hey, I'm willing to give up this for good sleep, I bet you you're not trying hard enough. And I say that as somebody who always complains about the amount of sleep I get, but guess who was on TikTok at 10 o'clock last night?
That's exactly it. If you're willing to give up your car, give up an hour of television or your phone or whatever. Yeah. Just go to bed earlier.
It's like there's definitely people with insomnia, but that's a problem.
Jeez, guys. Did we just solve this problem?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Mornings with Jeff, Laura, and Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
The games that kids either don't play at school and or recess anymore, the list is apparently rather extensive now.
Yes, it is. We had one person who had archery in grade 9. They said we had it in grade 9. It was gone in grade 10. We only injured one teacher. No one really liked him anyway.
Is that the old, all right, everybody put their bows down, and then you're up at the target, and you just hear thwack. Yeah. That I can understand.
That's
saying,
fair.
My kids, they took out the swings at my kids' school. Get that swing going, and then you'd launch yourself off into the gravel.
Yeah, that brief moment where you don't know how it's going to end.
But at that point, everything was still bendy for the most part.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
I was fortunate not to break a bone. Monkey bars now, they're not really, I mean, they're there in the new version, but almost like a rubberized or a hard form plastic.
Yep.
Where with the start of the school year in the fall, lovely. By the time you hit spring, everything was rusty.
Yeah. Yep. Get your tetanus shot. You're fine.
I mean, we're fine now, we think. Someone said, my daughters have been told they can't do cartwheels or headstands at school at recess. Isn't that what recess is, though? To just blow that extra steam off so that when you come back in, you'll kind of sit down and focus for a few hours.
For sure. Like, that's something that you're just telling a kid they can't do something that's not harming anybody else, obviously. But it's like, that's a cartwheel. Hey, I do cartwheels sometimes, though. Or I try a headstand.
The fact you weren't injured severely.
Yeah, well, that's true. I could have been.
We know why they're not allowing a lot of these things. We are more than aware of why.
For sure.
There's some that's kind of questionable. A few that made the list. British Bulldog.
Oh, yes.
Which?
A version of Red Rover.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which there was never a wrist that wasn't sore after that game.
Right.
And you'd always, even when you're running, you're like, okay, and you'd adjust your sights to the smallest pair.
Yeah, that's true.
And try to blow their arms apart. Tetherball. As I was leaving, they put a tetherball in, and the amount of kids that just got smoked. That was a game, as a kid, I was like, that makes no sense.
But I loved it, though. It was so good.
It doesn't go anywhere. You'll never grow up to be a professional tetherball player.
Well, that's true. What happened at our school was they put the tetherball poles in and the balls, and the kids would get smoked in the face repeatedly. Yeah. So they took the balls away. Like, they just unsnapped them and took them back into the gym. But instead, we just had these metal poles sticking out of the blacktop anymore. A friend of mine, I'll never forget the sound of his forehead smashing against one of those. We were playing tag or something like that, and he just did one of those quick 180s right into it, and it was like that bung. it was bad.
Now, this wasn't necessarily a school activity, but if you got together with family and friends over the summer around barbecues, you remember lawn darts?
Oh, God, yeah.
I do, because I'll never forget the, was it my mom's side? So I think it was the Schmidt family reunion, and Aunt Eloise took one on the top of the foot.
Oh no.
That little webbing between the toes. Uncle Bill had some good height with that top.
Jeff and Laura in the Morning with Backstage Ben
on Virgin Radio.
The games that kids, well, we used to play at school, and how the years, over the years, how things have kind of fallen off a little bit. And it doesn't shock us that British Bulldog or Red Rover, those games have been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was saying, at my kids' elementary school, my son challenged a teacher to a chin-up competition on the soccer post. So a yard monitor started yelling at them and didn't realize that the teacher was actually taking part in it.
Ooh, the teacher gets sent to the office? Yeah, I knew.
You two to the office. Yeah. You know where it is because the staff room's right behind you. You go. I never understood tetherball. Just, that is a vicious sport. Someone is asking for a black eye and or broken nose. But like sports, like soccer, competition-based stuff, I think it still can be fun and casual and there can be a lot.
For sure, yeah.
A lot learned.
Tetherball was next level, though. Like I said, I remember when they were built, and we had it for about a week before they realized it was a terrible idea.
So this falls in less in... Well, no, I guess it does qualify under game, but more gaming. When kids started to gamble in the washroom, remember the like quarter game?
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, I was in elementary school, we started quarters. And whoever got their quarter closest to the wall, for us it was the wall, and remember how the piece of tile was like, it would round, and then there would be a nice line in the floor?
Yeah.
Ours is always, if you could set it on the line or closest to the line.
Uh-huh.
But then when loonies and toonies were available, we got into that action.
Getting the big bucks, yeah.
We got into some heavy lifting, but then same thing. Teachers found out we were playing this, and they actually brought in a speaker to talk to us about the dangers of gambling.
Wow. See, I was in the era of Pog, which was a type of gambling still. You're giving up your Pogs, right? Like, whatever.
Did you lose a lot? Like, I never lived
in
the
Pog
world.
You stack them all up, and then you slam, like, you have a metal piece that you slam on it, and then it's on your move. It's whatever lands face up or face down, one of the two, you get those ones. And then you just, the next person goes, and that back and forth sort of thing. So, yeah, you did. Like, you could lose a ton, but you could also gain it. It's gambling, but it's gambling with, like, paper products that were still, I'll bet you they were, like, $5 for a 10-pack or something like that. So
it's just a different kind of currency.
Exactly.
Still gambling.
Yep. Exactly.
But think of the life skills you built, right? Think of the life skills.
Absolutely.
And if you're 9 or 11, the chances that... I mean, you've got a lot of years, so you can legally go and gamble anyway.
Exactly.
You'll hopefully have more of an education on the dangers of overindulging.
I think me playing Pog, I grew up better than the kid who got hit in the face with a tetherball 20 times.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben every morning.
Virgin Radio.
This is good news. This is the news we've been wanting. We are this week getting a whackload of COVID-19 vaccines. So we're getting 1.2 million doses of the Pfizer and BioNTech. And almost 900,000 shots of the vaccine developed by Moderna. So we've got some options, which are nice. I still don't believe, and please, if you're in the healthcare field, you don't have a choice of, I'll go with combo A.
Give me one of your...
I don't believe it works like that. But the nice thing is you can tell they're forecasting. Like, they're giving us the info kind of on the fly, but almost a few days or maybe a week or two behind, because now you're seeing all across the country mass vaccine sites where they where can we get a lot of cars in and out in that kind of scenario. So they've just announced that Canada's Wonderland is going to open as a vaccination site in the coming days. This makes complete and utter sense.
Yeah.
My only concern is that first turn and loop how are you going to stick it in known as...
Is it right where they take the picture of you and you're screaming? They also shoot a dart at you?
Yes. It's like that behemoth has so many dips. Like, if you're a nurse, like, how are you going to get that in the shoulder?
What if you line it up and the nurses are at the front of the roller coaster and then they just drop the needle when the end of it is going through? Bing.
Too risky. I think it's a 2-for-1 deal. You pay your admission and then it's the right side of the cart. It would be the healthcare professional administering it, and then as you're going, it's just right in the shoulder.
There you go. I like that.
Boom,
yeah.
Done, and then you have another 2 minutes of pleasure. You've forgotten that you've even received the needle. For me, I'm hopeful that I can get it on either the Thunder Run or a Vortex because they're just fast. There are not a lot of loops involved.
That's true. What about the Coca-Cola misting tents?
Yeah, that's going to be hand sanitizer.
All right. Mornings with Jeff, Laura, and Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Another installment of Dumb Local Criminal. Still on the loose.
Uh-oh.
9 catalytic converters stolen from North Dumfries and a business. So all 9 work trucks in a yard. So they're in a locked yard with a fence, a gate. Owners are doing everything they should do. Lights, cameras, the whole bit. Still did not stop someone to go in and steal the apparently insanely valuable catalytic converters, which we've talked about a couple of times in the last little bit. Police all the way down to Windsor, stopping through in Strathroy and London and Woodstock. These thefts are going on everywhere, from newer vehicles to old ones. There's a ton of dough involved because there's some there's precious metals in there.
Yep.
Laura even spotted, where did you spot someone trying to sell one?
I think it was KW Swap and Sell, but somebody was trying to sell a cat converter. And they were like, in all caps, it's not stolen. It's just like from an old truck. And they're like, I can prove it's not stolen. But of course, the comments on any buy and sell page anywhere now has just gone to a dumpster fire. So they were getting arrested.
The nice thing about this is the officers were able to locate the converters and return them to the business owner.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's sweet.
So it's a bit of a feel-good story in that regard, but they're saying the thefts are into like the hundreds of percent increase year-to-date.
Ugh.
Just based on those precious metals. They're saying they're more valuable than gold.
You know what else is very frustrating is looking for a new car, new or used car. I can't get into a bunch of lots on a Sunday. We wanted to drive around, and a bunch of lots are shut right down. There's nobody there. So, like, doing
is that a normal thing to go walk around a used lot when...
Absolutely.
Oh.
Well, price tags used to be on cars. They're also not on cars anymore. But just to walk around to see what's out there.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Some, if it's just a used car lot, like, there's nothing new, they're locked right up still. Like, there's a gate on the front that you can't get through.
I figured it'd always be like that. Little scrap bandits.
I think that's a fairly new, but based on this this trend.
Right, we'll you're absolutely right. It'd be a part of it for sure. Security and the dollars that sit on car lots is you're in the millions, some tens of millions of dollars.
People who just go and steal parts off working vehicles, you are the raccoon of people.
Except you are trash pandas. Can be cuddly and delightful. These people are not
delightful. No, you're just stealing almost soon to be garbage.
Benny, 5 to 10 years in prison, you too become cuddly.
Yeah.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
It's the Help Desk.
Thank you for holding.
On Virgin Radio.
Today's Help Desk is from Cut Out the Cutouts in Ingersoll. If you want to send us a Help Desk, you can do that. Slide into our DMs on Facebook or TikTok, or go to the Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben page on our website. We've got a submission form there, however you like to do it. They said, hey, JLB, I'm wondering what other parents would do in this situation. My friend and our daughters walk to school together in the morning. Well, my friend has recently upgraded to a new set of over-the-shoulder boulder holders. I'm so happy for her. She's really had her confidence go through the roof. That being said, I'm getting GTA stripper vibes when she's walking to school with us now. Yeah, you know that walk. Mm-hmm. And so is her daughter. She's always rocking the low-cut cutouts, tight pleather, anything to show off her new curves and cleavage. My thought has always been, wear what makes you happy, but when her daughter was at her house, she said she's embarrassed by the clothes her mom takes her to drop off to drop her off at school. So should I talk to her about this, or should I just keep letting her do her thing? Cut out the cutouts, Ingersoll.
A blend of responses. From one that leans saying, quote, teach her daughter how to properly communicate her feelings. Otherwise, just let the mother live or love her happiest, best life.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that was live her happiest, best life.
Yep.
Then on the other side, someone saying, I respect the mom, feels good about herself. Awesome. But her daughter is at a delicate age where she's forming an opinion about herself and what mom is wearing is affecting her. So I do think there should be a conversation, as awkward as it may be.
Well, I think that's a great conversation to have. Hey, I can wear what makes me feel happy, but you shouldn't be judging me because of that, daughter.
Wow, I did not see this leaning so hard on a kid.
No, but I'm saying it's a good teaching moment. Like, let's say the daughter does end up talking to her mother.
Yeah.
And hopefully, in a perfect scenario, if I was a GTA mom, and I would say, okay, yes, thank you. Hello, little girl. I would say, listen, I understand you don't like what I'm wearing, but it's what makes me feel happy. And then you go on to have a conversation about how you shouldn't judge people for what they wear. It's similar to how there's an issue with dress codes at school. Yep. You know, the second you have a bra strap that shows, the women get in trouble, but the dudes, they have saggy pants all day.
True. True.
But maybe it's a conversation to have that angle, but maybe the mother could also be understanding and say, hey, okay, I will not do this, but understand that this clothing choice makes me really happy.
And then someone followed said, well, if the mom isn't fully aware, she will be after today's show.
We need to hit this again because somebody also said, would the mother approve of her daughter wearing similar clothes?
Jeff and Laura in the morning with Backstage Ben
on Virgin Radio.